Hi, class. Welcome to Church Unusual. It's another class. So, welcome. I got a different little background this time, but we're still good. I think the last class that we had, I know you had exams probably last week. The last class we had, we was talking about all rocks aren't created equal. I love that. I've been eating off of that since that day because I just got it in that class. but I want to start back to the same spot in. In Matthew chapter 16, you know, we've been going over that over and over again. But I want to take us through a trail of, because the Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding. And I think that we need to understand sometimes when you understand how something has been wired or how something was put together, then you understand how it came out the way that it did or why it functions like it does now. Sometimes there's, you know, I've had situations where I've had to bring cars to the shop that should have been perfectly running cars, but the wiring was off or the wiring was wrong from when they got it from the factory. I remember I had a car, my sister had the same car. My car's in the shop, you know, every 2, 3 months. Hers was running just fine. Well, mine had a wiring problem. It was wired wrong from the inside, therefore I had wrong production. It's not that the car model or that there was something wrong with the car type, because once again, my sister had one the exact same way. But matter of fact, my sister and my brother had they had the same exact car, but mine had a wiring problem. Therefore, it looked like it was supposed to look, but it wasn't functioning like it should have. One of the scriptures I like to go with that is having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And a lot of times in the church, modern church as we know it. Overall, maybe not your personal church or my personal church, but sprinkling in pretty much all churches overall, there seems to be a form of godliness, but sometimes there's denying the power thereof in different areas. And so when you find out how something has been wired or how it's been set up, or here's the word I like to use, how the foundation was poured, or how the foundation was set. When you find out how the foundation was set, you understand why the house may be leaning, or you understand why things are like they are because of how they were built from the blueprint or from the inception of it. So Matthew 16 again, and we go through the story, and I want to jump through a little bit. I want to read just for the sake of reading. Jesus came, 16 verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They answered, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he said to them, "Who you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he answered, said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, some people have a discrepancy on what this rock is. He didn't say, "Thou art Peter, and upon you I'll build my church." He didn't say that. It might have been misconstrued that way over years, because I've heard some preachers misconstrue it that way, and even Peter might have taken it that way. And I'll explain to you why in a minute. But he said, "Blessed art thou," no, he said, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter," right? "And upon this rock I will build my church." Now, I know the word Peter, the name Peter means Petros, means rock. But he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Verse 20, then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, I want you to mark that point, because we're going to see a flaw in how we do church. But if I'm going to mark that, we're going to go back in a minute. So I want to see a flaw. And he says it again in the 17th chapter, something very similar to that. All right. Obviously, Peter must have misconstrued or misheard or thought that he was the one that was going to be the foundation of the church, because verse 21, from that time forward, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests and scribes and be killed and raised again on the third day. Now, here we go. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Now, obviously, somewhere along the line, he missed the point. He thought he had brownie points. He thought he was, I guess, more spiritual than what he was. I guess he thought he was more ranked than what he was. I don't know what it was. But whatever it was gave him the nerve to rebuke Jesus. That's crazy, right? I know it's crazy. And so it misconstrued, but the rock that he was talking about was the revelation of the Christ. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. For thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I said this over and over again, that this is what has happened to the churches overall. It has sprinkled a lot of outside ideas, outside understanding, a lot of common societal understanding, and tried to put Jesus' name on it, painted the red and say it was the blood. You know what I'm saying? Or put a cross on it and say it's Christian, right? With a lot of these foreign ideas. And he goes on to say, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself. I love that scripture. Take up the cross and follow me, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. What profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I want to do a little bit more reading, so you got to bear with me a little bit. You don't have to bear with me at all. I'm just going to read. Verse 17, and after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, and they just call Peter Satan now. 6 days, he takes Peter, James, and John, his brothers, and bringing them up into a high mountain. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be... Shut up, Peter. Shut up, Peter. Peter, shut up. This is not time for you to talk. Then this answered Peter, like somebody asked him something. Like somebody came to talk to him. He answered. It's good for us to be here. Thou will let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, like in the middle of his talking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear you him. And when the disciples heard, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus. All right, and I'm going to get to the next point, next scripture in a minute. But if you really pay attention to what's going on, in the course of whatever this time span is, Jesus asks him who he is. Peter answers who he is. Jesus says, okay, God must reveal this to you. That's the revelation of who I am, the Christ. That's the revelation of your life. Peter misconstrues, rebukes Jesus. Jesus tells him, get behind me, and actually calls him Satan. Then explains to him why, right? Still takes him to this such special place up in the high mountains away from everybody, just him, James, and John, and was literally transformed or transfigured in front of them into light and talks to Moses and Elias. Here's Peter again. I want you to find the church. I want you right now, for the sake of this, I want you to say Peter equals the church. Peter equals the church function. And the first thing we want to do is talk. We want to give a word. We want to have something to say. Now is not the time for you to talk. Shut up. Matter of fact, he says, shut up in verse 20. In verse 20 of chapter 16, he says, he charged the disciples that he should tell no man that he was Christ. Then I stopped the scripture just now, chapter 17, verse 9. He says, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them. Charged is a strong word. Charged them, saying, tell this vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. In other words, don't talk about this. Or you say, well, go preach the gospel. There's some things Jesus is going to say not talk about. There's some things that we're proclaiming that should be the secret. There's some things that we're proclaiming that Jesus didn't call us to proclaim. He just two times right here in two chapters, he says, he charged me, they say nothing. Well, I don't know about y'all, but me, I know a lot of us, I'm good now the way I'm thinking, but a lot of us, we barely can have a testimony without getting up in church and telling it. Right? We barely can have something happen to us without running and telling somebody and wanting to tell the church and people to shout. Right? And for him to tell you got the revelation from the Father, right? When ain't nobody's talking like that. Or for him to transfigure in front of you. Oh, you go tell everybody. And Jesus charged them not to say nothing. I want you to find something in the church. But Peter, his Peter, as soon as he sees the transfiguration in verse 4, he starts saying, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And it sounds just like church. It sounds just like church usual. Because we believe the church business is building buildings. We believe the church building is building buildings and filling them up with people and calling them members, right? We believe that that's the extent of church work. And Peter, sure enough, it's good. Let's build three tablets. Let's build three churches. We're going to call it the Church of Moses, the Church of Elias, and the Church of Jesus. Right? Three tabernacles. We're going to build three buildings. Well, that's not the point. And this is why God has to come out of the sky and tell him, shut up. This is my beloved son. You need to listen and stop talking. We've been taught a talk gospel. Shut up and listen. Right? This is why the church can't be usual. And he goes on to read verse 10. And the disciples ask him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? Right? And Jesus answered, Elias truly shall come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias has come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, or they liked. Likewise shall they also do to the Son of Man. Thus, likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. And then the disciples understood that he's speaking to John the Baptist. Now, watch this. I just noticed this. I'm going to read a little further down. We go into the story about healing the boy that was possessed of the devil. But he just, in this passage right here, he fixes the issue with the church, right? And because we are so caught up on ourselves and we don't pay attention to how things are, we don't really realize that there's an antidote, you know, in every situation. Along, you know, they actually use for the anti-venom for snake venom actually has that snake venom in it. So whatever kind of snake that bit you, they use that venom to make the anti-venom. So right there, where every solution, every problem is, there's a solution right there built in. Let me say, for every test that comes, there's a way of escape, right? It's built right in. Watch this. You remember he says, get behind me, Satan, for thou art offense to me, for thou savest this thing, not that be of God, but things that be of men. Watch the fix. Verse 14, when they come to a multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy upon my son. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, sore vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire and off into the waters. And watch, here's the church. And I brought him to your Christian center. I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And this is how I believe Jesus would talk if he was walking the earth right now, if he was to come back right now and come and sit in out some of our churches. He'll say, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And then he says, bring him hither to me, talking about the boy. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and it departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very same hour, Then came the disciples. Here we go. Jesus, come on, show us your way. Show us your glory. Show us how you do things. Then came the disciples saying, why couldn't we cast him out? Now here's the fix to savoring the things that be of men. It's a fix for the church, right? Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now that's a big statement, because we keep asking Jesus or asking God to do things, but he says nothing shall be impossible to you. Verse 21, how be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I'll say it again, by prayer and fasting. I'll say it one more time. This kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. Prayer, what do you mean prayer? Well, in chapter 6, a little bit earlier than this, he teaches how to pray. All the times, everybody talking about all these different prayers, all the time, and only one way Jesus taught us to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is the prayer. This is the kind of prayer that we tend to leave because we pray everything. We pray in tongues, and we pray the Ephesians prayer, and we pray this prayer, and we pray that prayer. And God bless all that. But we pray all those prayers, and we don't even say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So prayer. And then fasting. What is fasting? When you fast, what happens is you eliminate yourself from the desire of things outside of what your original desire should be. Also, during the fast time, what you have is toxins come out. I know sometimes when I fasted or detox, you start feeling your nose get stopped up. You start feeling like you're catching a cold or something like that. Well, that's only those viruses that's sitting in there lying dormant that's been living off of the toxins that you've been putting inside of you. The toxins that you've been putting inside of your mind, the toxins you've been putting, they've been living off the toxins. And once the toxins are are is a drought of toxins, and they've been squeezed, they've been held out, then they begin to start coming out of the pores and start coming out of it, and they jump out because they can no longer live there because there's no toxin to feed them. So when he's talking about fasting, many times the church as a whole and the church as individuals need to fast. I'm about to do a class for my youth in a couple minutes called Your Mental Metabolism. Stop feeding your feelings. Sometimes we feed our feelings, we feed our emotions, and they are only viruses or parasites on the inside of us that are eating and growing in us and trying to take our identity and making us live like they live. Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the fasting. You fast your mind and get everything out. Many times we talk about God show us something and we can't see it. He shows it, but we can't see it because we're blinded by the saving the things that be of men. Let me give you a good key. So now Peter, we know Peter was one of the main establishers of the Christian church, as we knew it, or the beginning of it for sure. Paul spread the Christian church, spread Christianity the most out of anybody. That's why him and Peter got into it, because Peter was doing things one way and Paul was like, I think Jesus meant for it another way. But Peter was upper room. Peter was Acts when they got filled the Holy. Peter was right there when they started the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. All of those things, that's Peter going on, right? So the same thing, when Jesus dies, Peter denies him three times. After all this, the God coming out of the sky and talking to him, he telling Peter, get behind me, Satan, all this, Peter still denies Jesus, which tells me that he didn't change much. His personality remained the same. When he denied Jesus three times, now Jesus tell him, if any man come unto me, let him deny himself. Peter said no, and he denied Jesus. All right. Even after Peter, and I think Jesus knew what was going to happen, even after Jesus comes back, he come back to Peter. Peter went back to fishing. Peter reverted all the way back to his old man, right? And Jesus said, you love me more than these three times. Yeah, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Now that Peter begins to establish the modern day church. Now Jesus knows how things are going to go. He knows what 2022 is going to be like. He already foresees the process of it, right? So he knows. He knows how it's going to be. So he has to put some, I believe, use Peter for a reason. I believe in essence that the church is like it is for a reason, but we can't let that reason go unfinished. We have to be a finishing of it. I think there were some people and some governments and some things over the years that were filtered out that were going to misuse the glory of God, misuse the power of me. They've done it already. So here's Peter. So now you say, well, why you say Peter? Well, let me speak to you about a couple of things. Number one is God was always using flawed people, but a lot of times they had a chance to be the right kind of rock, and they didn't follow through. Abraham was like, I mean, you keep naming, Abraham was like this. David was like this. Joseph was like this. Moses was like this. None of them wanted to be used, and none of them were of impeccable character, right? Or impeccable, you know, I know we boost them because they're in the Bible. We boost them about faith. But, man, Abraham laughed. When Abraham and Sarah, they laughed. Abraham went in and did something else. Abraham didn't want to sacrifice Isaac, right? Like, you know, we know the story of David. I don't have to go how David got the man wife killed and all this stuff. And I'm not trying to bash them because they did a lot of great things too. But I'm just talking about the type of people that God will use at the time to be used. Noah, as much as he did, Noah didn't go into the promised land simply because he didn't speak to the rock and he struck the rock. Somebody gave him a great revelation the other day. They said because Moses had a speech impediment, it was one of those things that was one of his insecurities. And so God was overcoming his identity and his insecurity by telling him to speak to the rock. But he was so comfortable with not speaking, he struck it like he did the time before. God was leading him to go move from striking to speaking. Up, that's the church. Go from striking to speaking. Up, find yourself. Go from striking to speaking, but if you're insecure in your speech. So these are the type of people you use. So now when he gets down to Peter, it's the same thing. Peter still has this saving the things that be of men. That's what Paul and him got into, because Peter was acting funny with a lot of the people. A lot of the people that was coming around when the Pharisees and them came around, he wanted to be a great person. And that's why he was so big about that. So type of people. Also, the type of people that Jesus brought around him, the disciples, they weren't brought around him because they were so great at what they did or they were such great people. If you look at them, they were different. They were, one was a zealot, which is like a person that was into politics. One was a writer. One was a tax collector. They were fishermen, and they were all these different types of things. He brought all the different kinds of people, the temples of people that could exist, he brought all of them around him. I mean, even when you go see Mary and Martha and different ones following him, he brought all the ones, Mary Magdalene, all the ones that were the people around him that'll fit, and you can find yourself if you see yourself in there and see what the different types of people around Jesus looks like. So he does this. So now he doesn't bring Peter around because Peter's such a great person, or even that he can be used so greatly. But he brings Peter around because he's one of the temples. Now, Peter did do a lot of different things in establishing the church, and we needed that. But there were still some saving the things that be of men ingrained in the building and now the fully functioning of the church. Now, if you look around, this is what we see. So I'm back to the scripture. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So us as the church, I think there's a prayer and a fast. I'm not talking about 30-day fasting. Y'all do your little fast, you know, 30-day fast or whatever. I've done a couple of them before. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living fasted, right? Not saving the things that be of men, but the things that be of God. See, you can be amongst things. I found this out, man. I looked it up, and I do a lot with these words. And remember Jesus says, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. I was like, why would you say wise as a serpent? But understand how wise a serpent is. You don't see it move. You rarely see them in open. They're impeccable with their striking. They're impeccable with their movement. They're masters of camouflage. So and the church is totally not none of that. We want to be seen. We want people to see us. Matthew 6 really told us how the church really acts. Stop walking around in front of everybody praying all loud because you want everybody to see you with your garments on. You want everybody to see you're special and all the different stuff. And then, you know, you want to give your gift out loud and all these different things so everybody thinks. And he says, you have your reward. This is what the church is dealing with now. The church is having its reward. It just wants to be seen. But what's the point of being seen with no power? What's the point of somebody seeing you but you can't change what they change them that see you? They should. And there's a couple times about they fast. I think it's Peter. They fasten their eyes on them. When somebody looks at you, they ought to be changed. That's what witnessing really is. But being fasted from these ideas that come from. Or he said, be wise as a serpent, harmless as doves. When I look up the word harmless, it means, well, I said, you think, be nice. No, the word harmless in that time in the Greek means unmixed. It may be wise as them, but don't mix with them. Know how to maneuver around with them, know how to be in some of the places that they are, but don't mix. Don't let what's in them get in you. Fast it. Right? So, once we see this bill, we see how it is, and now when we see how things are, it is our job personally and collectively. You know, I can teach this to the collective class and all of us hear it, but it's my job personally to begin the work in me, to do the work in me, to turn off some of the things, turn off some of these preachers, turn off some of these ideas that I'm making and start whittling myself down to be detoxed and fasted in the thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And once we begin to do this, then we begin to see the church function in its unusual, which is really the normal way they're supposed to function and really fulfill the things. Remember now, Jesus Christ is the foundation and the cornerstone. Not your idea about Jesus or not having good ideas on how to get a bunch of people in church and then put Jesus Christ on it. The idea of church growth is amazing to me. And I don't know when it came in. I guess in the 80s and 90s, people started writing books on it when their churches started to grow because they thought they were some professional on church growth. But church growth is not what you want. Gideon had 32,000 people and 31,700 of them were cowards or they were careless. So I had to do it with the 300. So it's not about getting a lot of people. I think they start writing these church growth books, and then now the movement of church being the open cell groups and get people to come in church and all this stuff like that, and they miss the point, and nobody's looking like Jesus. So let's get back to it. Let's get back to the thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and fasting from these ideas that are man's ways. Amen.